I'm standing in my underwear in my hotel room. I'm literally standing in my underwear in my hotel room. I'm in New York City. I'm staring out the window. I always wonder if, like, you're in a hotel, in any sort of room in New York City, because there's so, if you look out a window, usually you could probably count about 20,000 windows in your vantage point, in your viewpoint. I wonder if anybody right now is looking out their window and can see me standing in my window in my granny panties and a bra and with a microphone. I'm standing here holding onto my microphone, and it's got a hot pink, the microphone part is hot pink, because I'm cute as shit, and I have to have a little pink in my life, and they're probably just looking at me like, what is that girl doing alone in her hotel room in her underwear with a microphone? I'm making a fucking show, asshole. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Show podcast. Is it a show? It's a show. You know, I've decided maybe I should call it a show instead of podcast. Podcast is kind of redundant. You guys know it's a podcast. It's like calling it a podcast twice because you know what it is. I might call it a show. My friend Ralph Sutton, who has a really fun show called Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, the SDR show. You can find him. Look him up. Look up the show. They talk about some fun shit. I was on there with Saul Volcano from Impractical Jokers and Big J Okerson, and Ralph co-host the show, so check it out. So yeah, I might, per advice of Ralph Sutton, I may call this a show from now on. So Ralph, thank you with your creepy eyes, your dead eyes. He has dead eyes. Thank you with your dead eyes for giving me that advice. I am in New York City. I just got back from Connecticut. I had shows at the Funny Bone in Hartford, Connecticut. Thank you, all you crazy bastards who came out. You guys are insane. A lot of hecklers. Yeah. A lot of chatty Cathys that we had to shut down. We had to shut the shit down. I had to get John Taffer on their asses. Anybody watch Bar Rescue? I fucking love that show. Shut it down! There's fiberglass in the chicken tenders! I'm shutting it down! If you haven't watched Bar Rescue, do yourself a favor. You can binge on it. Watch it. It's hilarious. I don't know what network it's on. It is just a great show where he goes in and he literally shuts bars down if he thinks that they're disgusting. We need more of this in the world. There's so many bars that you go into. It's on Spike. I just looked it up. It's on Spike. There's so many bars you go into and you're just like, how is this place still open? He goes in there. He looks like John Travolta, if John Travolta had a lot of years of drug use. So he just looks like John Travolta. But it's a great show, man. Shut it down! We're gonna shut the shit down! That's what I had to do in Connecticut. All you chatty motherfuckers. Thinking that you're a part of the show. Just enjoy the show. Don't record. Don't talk. Just try and enjoy it. I want you to have a fun experience. I want everyone to have a good time. And when you're flapping your pie hole, it's interruptive. You're interrupting the show. So shut it down. I had a good time, though. I was really frustrated because I couldn't get any weed. What's up, Hartford, Connecticut? You guys know you have a high crime rate. Where's the weed, though? Where's that weed at? Why are you guys being stingy? No weed. I gotta up my game. Maybe it's my problem. Maybe I need to get like a delivery guy on my favorites list on my cell phone. Maybe I'm the issue. Maybe Hartford, Connecticut has plenty of weed. I'm sure Hartford, Connecticut has plenty of weed. The audience looked high. The whole audience looked high. I was introduced to a very special young girl, indirectly introduced to her. Her family works at the Funny Bone, and I wanted to give a shout out to her. She was born with a very rare disease. I'm not quite sure what the name of it is, but it's a very rare disease that has caused her to have a feeding tube in her nose that goes over around the back of her ear, and she has to have that all the time. She's 16 years old. She might be 17 years old. Her name's Jacqueline Young. So Jacqueline, if you're listening to this, how are you doing, girl? We've been chatting on social media because we were indirectly introduced by her family. Her, I think her mom. Is it your mom? Your mom or your aunt works at the club? Rachel. And she's just, if you go to her Instagram page, it's just amazing to me because she's had to deal with so much in her life. Like, just imagine being a young girl and having to have a feeding tube out of your nose and going to school with all the little bastards in school and how rough kids can be and how mean and you know, they pick on each other. That's just the way it goes. That's just the way it goes. Every school, every era of children in every generation, there's going to be kids that pick on each other. It's just what happens. It happened to me. I'm sure I did it to some kids. It's a harsh truth, but having the additive inconvenience of having to have a feeding tube and a colostomy bag, you know, that's rough. And to me, that's, you know, that's for, so I'm saying, like, if you go to her Instagram page, you just see she's so happy and she's beautiful and it's not debilitating for her. And I'm sure she probably has hard times with it. And I'm sure she's probably dealt with some kids picking on her. But the fact of the matter that she's able to carry on through life and have a positive outlook, it, to me, that's what it's all about. You know, I've had people tell me that I'm their role model and they love what I say and what I do and they look up to me. I look up to people like Jacqueline Young because she's able to overcome such hardship. You know, I can't even imagine what that would be like as a young girl and having to deal with scrutiny from little fucking assholes. She said to me, she sent me a message. We're totally messaging. We're BFFs. She said, thank you so much for the follow. I followed her on Instagram. Your message made my whole year. You're so funny, and watching you on Girl Code makes me so happy. I hope you're doing well. I mean, what a sweetheart. And then I responded, unsubscribe. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that to her. I said, you're so very welcome. You inspire me. And she said, oh my goodness, that means so much. You have no idea. And my cousin just told me about the shirt and the cup. Thank you so much. You are too kind. You are amazing. So it was her cousin that works at the club. Jacqueline, you're amazing. And you're an inspiration. And I hope you find what you want to do in life and you do it the same way you've been living without any fear and with that big ass smile of yours. So I just wanted to give her a shout out because her story really moved me while I was telling dick jokes on stage. I had Andrew Williams with me. Shout out to my boo-boo who hosted the show. Very funny dude. I had my friend Marty Caproni do a little time on Sunday night. He's a crazy bastard. In Connecticut, it was hard for me because it was the first weekend since I've been doing comedy. I've been doing stand-up I've been performing for almost 10 years. It's the first show that I didn't have Fozzie Bear with me. He travels with me everywhere. He is a legitimate therapy pet. I'm not like one of these bullshit people that just don't want to pay to have their pet fly. Fozzie is my therapy pet because he's traveled with me for so long. And he was unable to come with me because he's pretty sick. And I've joked about it. And, you know, joking is what gets me through that little pain that I have to deal with seeing him be sick. But I just didn't want to risk it because if he doesn't take his meds, then he just has a fucking heart attack. And I can't be on the road and tell jokes while my dog is dead in my hotel room. So it was very hard for me to not have him here. I realized, like, I always think it's so silly and people just must think I'm an asshole because I travel with my dog everywhere. Like, I'm just some typical little dumb girl that has to have her dog with her. But I didn't realize how valuable he is and how important he is to my sanity until I didn't have him. You don't know what you got until it's gone. And I come into my hotel room and he's not here and I panic. I'm like, oh, and I didn't sleep good last night without him. I didn't sleep good on the road. It's just, it really works. Having him with me makes me feel better. I'm a better person. So I miss you, Fozzie Bear, you little fucking asshole. I call him my 5-pound Mexican asshole because he's a chihuahua. Yeah, it's been difficult without my dog. I got to find a man to snuggle. I got to stop snuggling animals. I don't know, though. I don't know about getting a boyfriend. Or just, you know, it's just hard in general, like being on the road. Like after shows, I don't hook up with guys. I've never hooked up with a dude after a show. Like, I'm just not like that. But it gets lonely on the road sometimes. And it would be nice just to have, like, a little person I could fuck. I literally just, I'm going to get little people sending me messages. My friend Brad Williams, he's a little person. He's a comic. I should just start dating him. I just want a little snuggle on the road. I really hate that I say and I say it all the time. I caught myself saying it. I try not to say it on stage. It's just a lack of intelligence in the moment, a lack of something to say. So I'm going to try and not say it drives my mother nuts when I say and like an that's definitely some lack of vocabulary going on there. I have to improve upon that. Bruce Jenner, did anyone see? Yeah, you guys can't respond to me, so I'm just asking if anyone saw the Bruce Jenner. He was in Vanity Fair as Caitlyn, and it is, I am so blown away. She's beautiful. Caitlyn Jenner is a fucking babe. A babe. I just, the pose, the hairstyle, the cute little bustier onesie. It's very a la Marilyn Monroe era. I just, Annie Leibovitz took the photo. It just was really classy. The whole reveal of the Vanity Fair cover and just the execution. Bravo. Bravo, Caitlyn Jenner. Bravo, Annie Leibovitz, for taking the photo. And bravo, Vanity Fair. We're heading towards a new era, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a man and you want to be a woman, you should be able to be that without any discrimination. You should be able to live the life you want to live and not have to deal with judgment from other assholes who are afraid of something. That's all. That's people pick on people. That's because they're afraid. They're fucking assholes. And I know a lot of comedians are going to take jabs at him, her, which is, you know, par for the course. But I got to say, Caitlyn is a babe. I tweeted it because I was just blown away. She's a babe and she deserves to be happy. So anybody out there that is struggling with gender identity, there, you got a role model. You got somebody doing it who's not necessarily, you know, a Kardashian. This is the best thing to come out of the Kardashians since Mason. I just think it's great. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful direction we're moving towards. Peace and love for everybody out there, whoever you are. I said Does count as I don't fucking think so. Okay? it just comes right out. I'm also exhausted. I have to say I am a little exhausted. I drove from Connecticut last night to get to New York City. And I interviewed, now the ums are just coming right out of me. I can't even stop it. I interviewed Charlemagne the God, who is one of my friends. I've known him for a few years. I met him from doing Girl Code. He's not on this episode, but I interviewed him while I got into New York, and he was great. I love him. So look forward to him on next week's episode. Where am I traveling? I am going to be... My shows, I'm on the road. I'm going to be in Bellevue, I believe. Yes, Bellevue, Washington. I am performing at Parlor Live Thursday, June 11th, Friday, June 12th, and Saturday, June 13th. That's Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington. You can get your tickets off of Bellevue Live. You can find them at jessiemay.com. Jess America Tour is alive and well. So anybody that's in the... Anybody that's in the just come out of the and punch me in the for saying I'm going to have a shirt that just says on it. Anybody that lives near Washington, come to the show. It's a great time. I love Parlor Live. I interviewed one of my, another chocolate lover, because Charlemagne is a chocolate fella. I interviewed one of my other chocolate friends, Leo Flowers, who is a delicious specimen of a man. We talked a lot about swirl life, actually. If you don't know what swirl life is, it's when a white person and a black person, or two people from different backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, get together and they date. That's called the swirl life. More specifically, it's called swirl life because, like, when a white person gets together with a black person, it looks like a swirl ice cream cone. And it tastes just as delicious. I'm all about it. We talked about the swirl life because he has a beautiful white girlfriend. And we talked about that. We talked about the discrimination that comes along with that and what that entails in this society, being in a mixed relationship. I think it's beautiful. I'm all about the swirl life. I myself have never dated a black guy. I'm very intrigued by it. So I'm taking applications. I'm starting with Tyson Beckford and D'Angelo, but not D'Angelo now, the 1990s D'Angelo, so don't even think about it. How does it feel? I want the how does it feel D'Angelo, not the how does it taste D'Angelo. He's a hot mess right now. He's been eating too much. So I hope you enjoy my interview with my boy, Leo Flowers. Okay, so these, if you hold it as still as you can, Imagine your arm is, what do they call it?
A mic stand?
Yeah. Why did it take me, like, my brain is fried.
There's not just water in that glass.
That's why. Oh, did you give me vodka?
Are we recording?
It's delicious water. I don't know, are we?
No, I have to, is this all off the record?
This is all, everything is off the record.
I have to watch you, Peluso.
Why?
Because you'll say some stuff and it had me thinking we off the record. And all of a sudden I got cops at the door.
Why are you going to have cops at the door?
Because I talked to you.
You think I would call the cops on you?
I don't know who you would call.
That's some real white trash shit if I did.
That would be. Nah, you know white trash shit that you would call your brothers on me.
And they come beat you up?
Yeah. You get your uncle and them and the whole, it would be a family.
Your uncle and them?
Your uncle, not my uncle. You would get your family.
I would get the whole family beat you
the
up.
The whole family.
That's crazy. Yeah. Do you think I would actually do
and
that?
And then if I had kids, my kids would get beat up by your family's
my dogs. I would have
it would
my
be
dogs.
Generational. It'd be like Bloods and Crips. We would never.
I would go right straight down.
Yeah.
To the youngest. From the oldest to the youngest. The
oldest to the youngest. It'd be in the Middle East all over again.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You went real hardcore.
I went gangster.
You really went real gangster. Deep. Are you going to have kids?
You know, I don't know. I don't need them.
What do you mean you don't need
them? I don't. Like, I've never had that craving. Like, some people are just like, I got to have kids. I want to have kids.
You don't think. How old are you?
39.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of know at this point.
That's what I'm saying. But things change. You never know.
I mean, yeah.
I have
a
friend. My buddy is 51. Just had a kid. And
see, that's the beauty of being a dude. As a woman, if you have a kid at 51, it's gonna come out like a creature. It's not gonna be a baby.
No, it's not.
It's gonna have an arm out of the forehead.
Right.
You're gonna be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
You're gonna cough it up.
You're gonna cough it up. It's just gonna be like a dusty lima bean.
And you're gonna finish your meal. You're gonna cough it up. Put in a bowl next to you.
And grow it like a chia pet.
There you go.
That's the messed up part about being a woman. Like, when you get older, like, you guys are able to have children, and then that's it. Like,
but what about that's not it. We got to hang around. We got to raise it.
Well, I mean,
we got to clean it, send it to school.
You guys don't.
Yeah.
You could just take off.
Well, that's what you want us to do. How are we going to make money? We can't make money staying at home with the kid.
Well, now that's the problem, because it's 2015, and women can make money, and they're having careers, and then they're like at the age of 51, they're like, oh, I want to have a baby.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's when all the issues come in, because then they have to do the fertility thing.
And now 8 kids pop out.
And then 8 kids pop
that's
out.
That's crazy.
Petri dish babies come out, and they're like, rah!
They're fighting each other. It's Game of Thrones. It's like cubs, and then the father has to eat 2 of them. just to feed the other six.
to make room?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want kids either.
I think you do.
I think you do. Why do you think I do? Because I have dogs?
Not because you have dogs, but I think every woman, I think it's natural. It's just the way nature has made it so women at some point crave kids. You're still young.
I don't, though.
How old are you?
I don't want kids. I like to have some mystery. Nobody knows how old I am. I'm not old, but I just like to keep it a mystery.
Sorry.
But I don't want kids.
I think at some point you will.
You
know why?
Because
out of growth and expansion, right? Just adding more, something different.
Yeah, like having the name carried on. Because
like
my dad
having
didn't
the
have
name
sons.
Carried on. Yeah, it's part of the legacy. Just because at some point you're gonna meet some dude, and then y'all gonna be married for a while, and then you're gonna be like, we need more.
See,
together.
This is the problem. What's I'm on? Gonna meet a dude, and because of my mentality, we talked about this before, and we're gonna get into it. Because of my quote-unquote type A personality,
yep.
I'm gonna meet a dude and be like, I'm not gonna have any kids, straight up, and then he's gonna make me fall in love with him, and he's gonna put a baby in me and turn me into a witch.
I think you kind of want that, though.
I don't want to be a witch with a baby.
No, I don't think you want to be a witch, but I think you want a guy who's strong enough to make you want to be a mother.
Wow, that's some deep shit, right? That's some Leo Flowers knowledge. Don't you get all Steve Harvey up on me right now in your kitchen. Don't you fucking get all Steve Harvey on me.
I think that's what you want, Palooza.
See, we talked about this before. Like,
we did.
You're type A personality?
Not me. Not at all.
You're not?
Nah, I'm type B.
Nah, see, this is where you're lying. You're type A, but you're on the down low A. Don't even act like you're not. You can't look like you do and be type B. Bullshit.
I'm telling you, I'm very... Like,
so have you gone for girls who are more type A?
Absolutely.
Okay, well then.
Well, here's what I say. I go for girls who are detail oriented because I don't like details.
I'm a big picture dude.
I can't deal with
it. That's a control thing. That's a type A personality trait.
What's that?
Detail oriented.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm definitely type A. There's no question about it.
Yeah, my girl is very detail oriented.
Yeah.
And so like when she displays her real type A-ness, I just have to remember, hey, that's why you drafted her. You know what I'm saying?
Did you draft your girlfriend?
Yeah,
I love
course.
That. That's funny.
You can't. So, I mean, I think that's why people get in trouble. Like, they forget why they draft. Like, if you draft Shaq, right? If you pick Shaq up, you know that you picked him up to rebound. You ain't pick him up to shoot free throws. So you can't get mad
that's
when he
true.
Misses free throws.
Because
that
you knew
his
what
job.
His skills
yeah,
were.
You knew what his skills were.
You're like, this
and
is
knew
why
what his
I'm
weakness
drafting
were.
Him.
Absolutely.
And that's a problem in relationships. You draft him
yep.
for what they are, for
yep.
where their value
absolutely.
Is. And then you're like, well, let me just try and crank it a little bit and turn it into something else.
Make Shaq a point guard.
Yeah,
come
and
on.
You can't
do
that?
But what you do want, what we do want is, I think at the end of the day, is for Shaq to work on his free throws. I don't need you to hit them. I just need to know you practice.
I just need to know that at least you care enough to work on
right.
some free throws
right.
for my mentality. Just for me to be like,
that's
all right.
It. That's all we want. I just need you to practice the free throws.
How long you been with your girl?
6 months.
6 months?
Yes.
And you're in the swirl life?
Already.
Have you ever dated a white chick before?
Oh, yeah. College.
That's, you did?
When I was in high school, I had a thing against dating white girls.
Why?
I think because I was in Chicago and I just didn't see a need to date white girls.
It's all about need with
it's
you.
All about
you don't
need
to have. You don't need to have
that.
Kids. You don't need to have kids.
It
you
is.
Don't need
that's
a white girl. You don't need
wow,
a white
look
girl.
At you getting Steve Harvey on. But then when I got to college, I don't know. It was I'd never been around that many white girls in my life. So at some point, you know, you start
just you go, like oh. wanting it.
Yeah, it's like I don't like McDonald's, but you go by McDonald's a million times.
I'm gonna try McDonald's.
At some point in your life, you're gonna stop there.
I'm gonna get a Big Mac.
I stop at McDonald's maybe once a year, and
you
I
do?
Hate McDonald's.
I hate McDonald's.
I hate it, but every now and again, it just sucks me back in.
So the white
I don't even
so
want it.
You just equated dating a white girl as going to McDonald's and getting a filet fish.
No, that's not what I'm saying. It's marketing. It's if you live in an area where you keep seeing McDonald's signs,
it's true.
You're gonna crave it.
So have you
out in college? You know, Indiana is all white girls.
Oh God, it is like, regular white girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But your girl's not regular white. She doesn't even have a regular white girl name.
No, Dominique.
She's got a black chick name.
Yeah.
So she's like a hybrid.
She is.
And she's cool as fuck.
She is. She got a black girl attitude.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she does.
I connect.
I'm scared of her. I'm not gonna lie.
You should be.
I thought Canadians were nice.
No, they're not. That's a big misconception. They leave the doors open, so you try.
Yeah. Try. Right. Yeah.
I like to see you try.
Beware of Canadian.
My doors are open. Try and come up in my property. I'm gonna kick you with my Canadian boot.
Oh yeah, she tough as nails.
So are you her first black boyfriend?
I don't know.
How do you not? How does that conversation not come up?
You know what? I'm not Leo Flowers. I read the Bible. In the Bible, there's the Sodom and Gomorrah story.
Yeah.
Don't look back. I try not to go
back.
That's
smart. When you go into relationships, it's another problem. People are like, who'd you date? What's your number?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, why does anything BU. Because we're in this generation where you abbreviate everything.
Right.
The word
instead of BC,
BU. BY. Everything before you doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
So why are we having
because
this conversation?
Because you know what? You know what's beautiful about it is no matter what the number was or who she was with, it all led to me.
It did. To so Leo Flowers.
Whoever the dudes were, I want to high five them for fucking up.
I just am interested to know. Next time I see her, I want to ask her if you're her maiden voyage into the chocolate life. If you're her first swirl life partner.
I don't think so. You know what? I know I'm not.
How do you know?
Now I know. Now I know. No, I know for sure.
How do you know?
Because she told me.
Okay, see, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be your first one. I would be. If you were my first black boyfriend, I would walk around my eyebrows jacked. I would just be like, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? I would just be in a constant, like, on edge.
I've been a couple girls first black.
So do you, like, tell them, you know, what's up?
Well, what do you mean?
I don't know. Do you have, like, a this is your first black guy? Like guidebook for girls?
No, it was like a meeting, like a synopsis.
Yeah, you should sit down and be like, hey, this is what's going to happen. Because, you know, have you guys encountered any sort of discrimination? Because even though we're in 2015 and we're starting to get progressive and, you know, gay marriage is starting to be legalized, weed is starting to be legalized, we're moving toward progressive thought.
I don't know. That's the thing about 2015 is that if there is, it's so subtle now, you don't know.
Like, it is real
like
subtle.
Back in the day, it would just be like, you know, don't date that black guy.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't even say black. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they said the worst word.
Right. And now it's just, well, you know, just keep an open mind. You know, like they. don't. You know, don't commit to anything too soon.
So no one screamed at you guys in grocery stores like, you're committing a sin.
You get looks, but you're still not even sure what the look is.
See, you guys, you two together are so attractive that you guys should be on a brochure for Swirl Life. You guys should start the Swirl Life magazine and be like, look how great it can be.
Absolutely. I know. And then the kids, you know.
Mixed babies are the most beautiful children and people ever.
Ever.
Like some of my mixed friends, I just look at them. I'm like, you're perfect.
But Barack Obama has set a new level for mixed kids now.
Why? Because they're up in the White House?
Yeah. Now they're up in the White House. Now every mixed kid has to be. In a White House.
I know that's a high standard.
It's a high standard.
That's a high thing to like reach for.
I don't know. That's not a lot of money though.
I'd rather have, but
then the public speaking, that's where you make your money.
You make the money after you're president.
After you're president.
You get endorsements after.
Bill and Hillary killing the game
right now.
Billary
Clinton. Has anyone called
him
that?
I don't know. I'm sure it has to be something.
They're still relevant. He's been relevant.
Yeah, he's relevant.
I wonder if he would still be relevant if he hadn't got his ween sucked by that girl in the blue dress, Monica Lewinsky.
I think that
she's still that's relevant.
She's making a comeback now.
She's making a comeback.
I need a movie.
You need a movie?
I need a movie about that whole thing.
Why haven't they done a movie?
It's too fresh.
It was in the 90s.
I bet you Hillary shut it down. I bet you that's what those emails were
about.
She's orchestrated. She probably sent Monica in to suck his dick.
I bet you she did.
I'm telling you, just so she could become president.
I bet you she did.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, think so? It's the White House.
It's some House of Cards.
That house,
shit.
Yeah, some House of Cards.
She was.
That house
she
is not
was,
that big.
What was his wife's name in the House
Claire?
Of Cards?
Claire.
Claire.
Yeah.
Claire Under. Is it? Yeah. What was that?
Underwood.
One? Underwood.
Yeah.
They were thug.
Underhanded.
She was just.
Yeah.
Vicious.
Vicious. That's I like, love them.
That's some craziness. Yeah. I would love.
What would you love?
You should be president, or your girl should be president, and you guys be the real first swirl presidents.
You know what? That would be perfect.
That would be amazing.
I'd be better as a president than she would.
Why? Because
she's thug. Yeah, the president, the leader, has to be the face, you know, the voice of reason. And then you need like a pit bull as vice president.
Yeah.
She's definitely.
She'd be good for that.
She would take some people out and wouldn't even.
That's crazy how many like things you could knock out if you had a swirl. President with a, if you had like a couple that was a swirl life couple up in the White House.
I don't know. You know what? I got to be honest. I think I have to get a. I mean, if I really want to be president, I have to get a Latina.
Yeah, that's right.
To be honest, they're killing the game. Look at the numbers. Fast and Furious 7 did.
Is it all Latinas went out to that? Latinas?
Yeah.
They love that.
They
right?
love that. Minorities support entertainment.
They really do, and they support like. Those types of movies.
Absolutely.
Because I love horror movies.
Yeah.
I go to horror movies all the time. And it's me and a bunch of Latinos and black
people
just chilling, loving it.
I'm telling you.
And like a couple nerdy white people.
A black. I think, you know what? I can't really see them electing a black male president and then a female Latina president.
Back to
but
back? You're saying
together.
Like together?
Like.
It'd be too much.
It'd be too much. But if you're a white male president with a female.
Latina?
Woo.
That would be so dope.
That'd be a shoo-in. The Republicans, they just, I don't understand why they're screwing us up.
They are screwing us
up. They're screwing it up.
Yeah.
Just get you a Latino.
Get your Latina.
And you good. You win.
Should be up there making some chili rellenos.
Get a white dude without a record who hasn't smoked weed.
Can we get a
can we just
get a regular white dude?
Just get a regular. I know. Why?
Boy.
How hard is it? What?
Why are we finding dudes? Okay, snorted 18 lines of cocaine in his
I don't
first
understand.
Year of college.
Harvard has 1,000 grads a year.
We can't pick one of those. Just one of the regular
Yale.
Ones.
Between Harvard, Yale, and Stanford.
We don't need
MIT.
You're right. We need like a nice, regular, sweet-faced person, male, just with no past.
What
Not
the hell has everybody else done that the people who are being chosen are the ones who?
They have a history.
I want to know. What? Because even the ones who are getting chosen have a history.
Well, it comes down to money. It really comes down to money.
Does it really?
But it would be nice just to have a regular dude who just he doesn't even desire to be president.
Nah. Yeah, right. Like like one of those movies.
Yeah, just a regular.
He's a farm boy.
I want to have
mama. Right.
I have a soybean
farm. Yeah,
I don't want to do this.
And then his dad dies, and his dad wanted to be president, and then he's like,
I got to do this.
I got to do
it. Or his dad was president.
Yeah.
See, you're already writing your script.
I'm already.
I don't know, man. I think it's kind of wild. Are you going to get married? Is she your girl right now?
Oh, yeah. She's the one.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Is there a moment you know that? Or is it like accumulation?
I don't like shopping. So.
For women?
Just in general. I think the anxiety of America is there are too many options.
And
you can always find something better.
There are
or different. It's not even, that's the thing. It's never even better. It's always just different. That's all it is.
It's not better.
And it's only different for about 3 months. And then it becomes the same.
That's one of the biggest issues.
I'm telling you.
Like when you go as a girl going to buy products, it's the same thing as it, and that permeates through every part of culture and society and existence. When you go into the store and you need face wash.
Yes.
It's overwhelming. You're like, I don't know. Do I have big pores? Do I have oily skin or combination skin?
SPF?
Do I have a chin rash?
Right.
Do I need the special kind for the chin rashes?
Oily, non-oily, animal? Are you killing animals?
Is it byproduct?
Did you kill a llama to make
this? Was this made with rabbit blood?
Yeah.
I don't want to piss PETA off. I just want to wash my face.
It's too much.
But it's the same with
dating. It's the same thing in dating.
But now, you know, social media has... Social media is a bittersweet double-edged sword.
Yep. Because now you're comparing your relationship to other people's relationships. And you're not even comparing relationships. You're comparing pictures.
You're comparing pictures.
That's all you're doing. Yeah, you just want to have a better photo.
Right.
That's it.
But you also have access to more. As a dude.
Yeah.
I was talking about this with a couple of my friends.
Oh, you have friends now?
I have just two.
Okay.
I only have two friends. Sam Roberts. He's one of my good friends. And he has a radio show on Sirius XM.
Mm-hmm.
That's neither here nor there. I just want to give him a little plug because he's a good dude.
Name dropping now.
Just name drop. Name drops. Nope, somebody you don't know. He was saying how men have the power now. In today's culture, men have all the power because of all the access you have to skanks on social media. Mm. Not just skanks. I don't mean to like generalize it because not every woman that's on social media is a skank. But I'm saying like from the touch of a button, you've got Tinder, you've got all these Snapchat, and
LinkedIn.
You're hitting chicks up on LinkedIn. You're hitting chicks up. That is so funny.
Like, yo, I need a job.
Yo, I need a job with a blow in the front of that. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, before men had access to women, and now you guys have so much more access to women. And women, because we know that, are turning tricks faster because we're more desperate and eager to get guys.
The competition is
fierce. And I only say we.
Fierce.
I don't do that. I'm not right. like that. But I'm saying we because I'm speaking as a woman in this conversation with you.
Gotcha.
I'm speaking for the women.
For the other.
Talking to my girlfriends, this is what I hear generally from
right.
my friends.
Yes.
That they feel that they have to compete because they know their dude or whoever they're interested in has 100 girls that he could talk to, literally.
Absolutely.
You could literally, even as a nobody dude with no job and nothing going on, and you've got -4 followers on Twitter, you could still have.
-4?
Yes. You could still have 100 chicks to talk to every damn day.
Every day.
A different pack of 100 girls.
It's homeless dudes with chicks.
Homeless dudes with chicks on their cellophone.
Right. It's cellophone. You said cellophone? We're going to say it wrapped in cellophane?
I thought of cellophane and I said cellophone.
Cellophone.
But do you think I'm wrong?
I think it's both ways. I think that as much of an advantage social media is for dudes, same thing for women. Because, I mean, shit, you don't think women getting hit up by their exes or other dudes?
It's weirder, man.
It is weirder, but still, it's still the temptation is there.
There's more temptation, and that has to do with more options.
Absolutely, more options. And it's like... And the thing is like, it's weird that women even feel like they have to turn it faster. Because as a dude, I know why you're doing what you're doing.
What am I doing?
Meaning like...
Picking my nose right now? I just hit an itch.
Well, you're trying to show off your Tupac t-shirt right now.
I got my Tupac tank top. Don't
yes,
front.
You, do.
You know you
I
like
love
it.
It. I love it.
Dear
love
mama.
It. Dear mama. That dude was such an anomaly. I was like... What is this guy? Is he a thug?
He was a love thug.
He was a love thug.
Yeah. So you think...
Here's the thing is if a woman knows that most women are turning tricks sooner to get a dude, then if you want to stand out, you got to do the opposite.
Yeah.
Right? Because here's the why. Because as a guy, I know if you're hooking up with me on a first date because you're trying to compete with other chicks, or if because we really just had such a strong bond, such an amazing time, a great connection.
It was a blast.
That it was just such a blast. Which is, it's an inside joke, folks. I don't know if Jay Poo's going to share it. But it was such a blast that it's almost like you have such a great time together. And you feel so connected, like it's like, why wouldn't you? Whereas like even if nothing comes from this, you just like you don't even feel guilty. You know, you're just kind of giving yourself over to the moment.
Right.
You know?
It's more having to do with just the moment and less having to do with trying to manipulate the moment.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
A lot of women
they
try and manipulate the moment.
Yeah.
And that's something that comes with, I think, experience and maturity.
Manipulation?
To let go of manipulation. Once you reach a certain age, you start to manipulate.
Yeah, you
become like,
so much better.
I mean, it's hard because when you're young, it depends on, as a woman, if you were raised around women who were master manipulators, then you learn at a young age. And then, like, when you reach a mature age, you're like, oh, I don't need to do that anymore. you know, I feel like when you reach a mature age, you realize that, like, you don't need to manipulate. That's not the way to go about it. You should just let it happen. You should be chill and just try and figure out how to just go with the moment.
But that's hard if you were raised that way.
Woo,
huh?
It's
because
hard.
Because it's not part of your
DNA. It's a battle I'm fighting.
Your habits, huh?
Manipulation. That's a battle I'm fighting. It's just like, it's a battle because I think I'm a relatively cool-headed chick.
Yeah, as long as...
Why'd you say it like
dot,
that?
Dot, dot,
dot. You waiting for it?
Because you're type A.
Because I'm
you're,
type
you're
A.
You're cool as long as...
I can be in control. There no, you I'm go. Just kidding. See, I'm just kidding. No, are no, you...
No. Edit it.
I don't really need to be in control. I've learned to like let go of some stuff, but...
Some stuff.
But it's difficult, especially doing what we do. Uh-huh. Like... For you as a man, I feel like it's different because you're a comedian. To get into a relationship, I think it's different for you guys because women are attracted to a man who's confident and being like, look at any performer from any sort of genre, not just comedy, but like music or even a magician. David Blaine probably right. gets like hot
oh,
chicks.
Oh yeah, ridiculous.
He's a nerdy magician.
Yeah, right.
It, women are attracted to somebody with that kind of power. Because mm-hmm. I think when you're on stage and telling jokes, there's a power to it.
Right.
And as a woman, you're like, oh, well, he's confident and he's vulnerable and all this stuff. So you get girls that come to you. Me, doing stand-up comedy, I don't get – no guys come up to me afterwards. If they do, they want to compete with me.
Right. Absolutely. Or they just want a quick hookup. Or it's more – it's like right. creepy. The guys exactly. who do come up to you, I'm sure, are just super creepy.
Super creepy.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm in a different place. So I'm trying to figure out how to maneuver through that.
Were you going to say manipulate again?
No, I was. Just another M word. Just trying to, manipulation will be the whole thing.
Maneuverate. She's trying to manipulate.
Maneuveration. But I think, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Don't you think, like, as a dude, chicks are just attracted to you?
Yeah, of course. Women.
Just
well,
what you
yeah,
do.
Just being on stage. I mean, because it's this thing of, like, even dudes are attracted to it, right? And the fact that, like, you
to
know.
To you? You made me just lose well, my water. I just laughed and water came out of my nose.
It's that idea of, like, you know, you get on stage, and if you're a guy who is, like, good-looking and confident, then dudes want to be around that.
Right.
You know, like, it's like Joe Rogan. Like, how many dudes, like, if Joe Rogan was, like, if Joe Rogan said he drank a half cup of milk every 2 hours for 6 days, like, you know how many dudes would do that?
They'd be like, oh, so I'm going to do
yeah,
it. Like, Joe Rogan does
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm going to do yeah, absolutely. And so there's an attraction, one, to just anybody being on stage, whether it's a male comedian, Jay-Z, Beyonce.
Anybody.
Just the fact that you're on stage.
It's alluring.
People are like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you get on stage?
Because just they
like,
couldn't. They
there's
ever,
some
never
stairs.
Could.
Right. You just like, there's some stairs right there. You climb up the stairs. You
yeah.
Get on stage,
I grab the microphone. And
right. And then you just start talking.
I do what I do.
But in their head, it's such a feat. It's like a high wire act, you know?
Yeah.
So just right there, being on stage, people are drawn to you. And now, so what they're drawn to you for is based on your look, your persona, what
the
you say,
image.
Everything that
yes.
comes from that. But as soon as you walk out there, people just are already like, oh my God.
They're like, what?
You actually, like they announced your name and then you actually still
yeah,
came
it's
out
a,
there?
It's a total, it's a different yeah. thing for them.
Absolutely.
Is that how you met your girl?
No, I met her at the gym.
You did?
Oh,
you
yeah.
were creeping behind the machines?
Oh, yeah.
Sweating her?
Yeah.
Oh,
I ran up on her.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
I'm a hunter. Come on.
You really did?
I really did.
You saw her and you
she
were like.
She was on this cable. She was doing a cable twist. And I was like. Mm.
You're like, I want you to twist on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah. I saw her from the back.
See how horrible
I
would be?
Yep. Yeah, and then I creeped around to the front to make sure the face, you know.
Matched that.
Yeah.
Matched the ace.
And then I was like, mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
And what'd you say to her?
I don't remember.
You don't remember your opening line?
Nah. I was in a moment. If I did, that means I was.
It means like, you were manipulating.
I manipulated some shit.
You were just in the moment.
Because I remember all my manipulative
abilities.
Openings.
Yeah. And so you just went
but
with the moment.
Is, yeah, I just went in the moment.
And did you know right away you liked her?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right away.
Immediately.
And then you were obsessed.
I don't know if I was obsessed immediately, but I knew right away that I was curious. I was more like she. There's something about her where I was like, I really want to know her.
That's really sweet.
As opposed to, man, I want to, like, there's some women I look at and I'm like, I just want to tear that shit up.
Right.
Right. That's it. Like, I don't want to know her name. You don't want to
talk.
Face.
You don't even need to talk.
I don't need to talk. Nothing.
You could do a little acidic thing through the hole in the sheet.
We could do it in the bathroom. Yeah, you're fine. Whatever. Right.
Pitch black.
But her, I was like, I want to, so our first date was like a picnic on the beach.
Really?
I built a bonfire, took a little picnic basket.
You did?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Have you done that before? Was that a little manipulative?
No, that was the first time I did it.
Are you serious? Yeah, so this girl made you... See, that's why I need a dude that makes him... I make him want to take me on a picnic. That's a life I'm about. I want a dude that has never been on a picnic, and he's like, yo, this chick makes me want a picnic.
I was running around, too, trying to grab firewood. You know how awkward it is to be in a store? Grabbing firewood.
And you never...
It's a Friday night. It just looks weird, yeah. You in a city. You live in a city, and you're grabbing firewood. They're like, this dude killed somebody. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so
funny.
I
had no idea how much wood to get. I didn't get enough wood.
Oh, you brought enough wood. Trust me.
She didn't say that. I was like, and wait for it.
You knew I was going to say that?
Yes.
And so how long did the first date last?
Hours.
Really?
I say about, not like all night, because we went out at night. So I want to say maybe 3 hours. Well, 4. I don't know. It was.
You talked along? Time?
Yeah, because we were just out there on the beach.
That's really sweet.
You know, drinking wine.
And now you're grapes. In love.
Wine
and grapes?
I'm not
yo,
in love.
You went all out.
Nah, she trying to.
You're not in love?
No.
Why is it how you're not in love?
What do you mean how am I not
You said
in love?
She's it.
The one, yeah.
Okay,
I
so how you're not in love?
To me, in love is.
I feel like there's some Leo Flowers knowledge coming right now.
All
right,
so there's love, and then in love is. I feel like that's a space of where you're out of control, where you're not being objective anymore.
When it's a little bit more, it's based off of like more lust.
Yeah. Like there's just, is more emotional as opposed to like love is like when you love something or someone, it's like, I want to nurture this, take care of this.
Right.
I want to grow it. I want to share it. I want to like, It's not needy. It's not possessive. It's not based on
past issues.
A moment. It's not based on anything. It's like there's a like I'm physically attracted to her, mentally drawn to her. Like on every level, I'm like, yes, right. Where when you're in love, you're just like, whee,
it's
whatever
a little
happens,
yeah.
happens. You know what I mean?
It's and like so, when you're in love, you're like, I'm going to sell everything and drive to Idaho.
Right.
And when you love someone, when it's more like, when you're not in love, when you like when you love them, what you're saying, you're like, I'm going to check some real estate in Idaho and maybe it'll
work
out.
Yeah.
It's not so impulsive.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit more.
And it takes, I've been in love once. I told her that too.
Only once.
I've been in love once. So I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like. And it takes a while to get there.
It does take a while to get
there. It takes, because if when you fall in love that way, where it took me like 2 years, right? When you fall,
it's a build, right?
It's a build. When you fall in love that way, you will both know it at the same time.
Yeah. Because it's like, and usually that when you say it, it's reciprocated in that
Absolutely.
Sense.
Yeah. And you feel it. And there's... And it's quiet.
Yeah.
When it happens.
Is it like, why? Do you remember? Who said it first?
I said it.
You did?
Yeah.
Was it quiet?
No, because I said I love you. I didn't say I was in love with her. But that instance when I told her I was in love with her, I said it first, and it was quiet.
It was?
Yeah.
And did she say it back?
Yeah.
And then it was just cool, and that was it?
It was one of those things where you can't describe it to somebody.
Yeah, it's almost like your whole body, right?
It is. And it's out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's a random, we weren't even doing anything lovey.
What were you doing?
We were going to like Ralph's or something. We're going to the grocery store.
So I got to hang out at Ralph's for this shit
to
happen?
Yeah, we weren't even in the store. We were like in a car in a parking lot.
I need fucking firewood in a grocery
store? Yeah, you need firewood. You need matches. It was something I forgot to bring. I had to like
go to start somebody else's
bonfire. Yeah.
So now, do you think it's a duty for a dude to say it first?
I feel
it's like a chick. We're always waiting for that.
Right. Absolutely. I feel like whoever feels it first should say it first. But definitely the guy, you know, should take the lead in that. I mean, idealistically, whoever feels it first should say it first.
Yeah.
Just be honest. Be vulnerable. Take the chance.
That's rough.
Because it's not about... It is rough. Because...
But you're right. If you both... If it's... If you're saying I love you, loving somebody and being in love, it's a fine line because it's so close. But I understand what you're saying because if you love somebody and you say it, then they usually would love you back because it's a mutual, it's grown out of a place where you're both putting effort into the money jar. Like you're both putting quarters in this little savings account of your emotions.
Absolutely.
And it overflows. I think that's like what...
Right, absolutely.
Loving somebody is a mutual love.
Yeah.
And neither of you can put any more quarters in, and somebody has to say it because there's no more room.
There's no more room.
For all the other things that lead up to that.
Absolutely. It's like we can't go forward unless we get this.
Yeah, we have to spend this money. We need to go to Ralph's and buy some groceries.
I mean, that's why so many dudes die from, you know, fathers of back in the day die from cancer at a young age. They're holding all their emotions.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because stress does. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, what you just said.
Yeah.
Stress does. It is linked to causing cancer.
Ain't nobody talking about it.
No one's talking about it. And that's stressful.
It's stressful.
You release the cortisol in your body.
Get that shit out.
And that shit causes cancer. Causes Alzheimer's. It's linked to all everything. Sorts of horrible
things. All types of things. Obesity, everything.
So when you don't talk, if you don't
communicate,
you have to get it out. Because that shit will fester in your body.
Good and bad emotions. You got to get it out.
You have to get it all out.
Somehow.
But you, do you feel like...
Or join a gym. Go
boxing. I was just going to say that. Like, do you think... What got you into training? Is that something that you've always done? Like, what was first, comedy or training?
I think they were mutual. Like, I've just always naturally loved helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And always loved, like, entertaining people. Like, I've just...
You are a very entertaining trainer.
I always need an audience.
Yeah.
I need it. And it's... Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's bad, whatever. But so for me, training was just a way of doing it, you know.
Are you funny with all your clients?
Nah, because not everybody brings it out of me.
Yeah.
You know, some clients can't train and talk at the same time.
Yeah.
So like with them, I'm just absolutely quiet because they can't do both.
But don't you think like being able to talk while you work out is an indication of like cardiovascular and like being... healthy?
Well, no, it depends on what you're doing.
Okay.
Some people just mentally can't focus, right? They can't, you know, especially like if they haven't worked out in a while.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to remember like the things you asked, like if there was like something with two or three, you know, moves or steps or whatever.
And you're cracking jokes. Right, cracking there was times jokes. You did that to me and I was like, you got to stop because I can't hold my body weight when you're talking dick jokes over here in the corner.
Farting.
I mean, working out makes me fart.
Yeah.
It gets stuff moving.
Blame it on a workout.
But at least, you know, you get those tight pants and you keep that cookie tucked in.
Or we just get the dairy out your diet. Man.
I am not getting cheap. Don't talk to me about getting dairy out my diet. Are you out of your mind? That should be a chapter in your Flowers guidebook.
I love dairy.
I'm not getting rid of cheese. No, you're going to look me in the eyes and tell me to get rid of cheese?
No, I don't do that.
What kind of person are you?
Don't do that.
Cheese is delicious.
And it's good for your bones.
It is good for your bones. Yeah. Can you not talk like that?
Like what?
This is how you get girlfriends. You talk all soft about calcium in your bones. And I'm like, I'm in love too. Yeah, let's do this. You want to go to Ralph's? Give me a fucking break.
Let's go to Ralph's.
But you do train. So are you going to do both for the rest of your life? Because you're good at both.
I know, but I love to... I was just talking to somebody about that today. Like, I just love to keep expanding. Like, I'd be bored doing any one thing. I like to have, like, multiple streams of income.
That's a way to do it.
Just multiple ways of entertaining. And so training for me is cool right now because I'm still learning. Like, I'm good at it, but I'm still very curious about it. So it's all about just like, oh, I don't know how to do that thing. How do you do it?
Yeah.
You know? And then, so like, once I feel like my curiosity has been satisfied in terms of learning how to train, learning about the body, learning about nutrition, then, you know, I'll hopefully have it evolve into something else to where, like, maybe have a talk show where I'm talking about wellness, you know, like a doctor. Now, I don't want to say Dr. Oz because that dude's selling fish oil now.
That's the only downside of that thing. He's selling everything. He's not like, platypus tears can cure childhood obesity.
Yeah, and it's not his fault because there's only, because truth.
He can't say no.
He can't say no. So, you know, two, you got to pay the bills. Those are people who are, you know, putting money in his pocket. And
free money is delicious.
Free money tastes good, but it doesn't satisfy like that money you work
for. It's candy.
It's McDonald's.
Yep, it's McDonald's.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's fallen under a lot of scrutiny because he's just endorsing these ridiculous things. And for me, that's like crazy because even though people can make up their own mind,
right,
he's still a voice of health.
Right, absolutely.
All these women are like, yeah, I'll put a rhino horn in my vagina if that will stop me from having UTIs.
Well, here's the problem, is that you only need the rhino.
It's on the show. I'm not making this shit up.
I saw a rhino once in
Don't talk about my mom zoo. That way.
and they're massive.
They're huge.
Like, have you seen one?
I've pet one before.
You pet one?
Yes. A pup. I think they call them a pup or a calf.
You petted a pup.
But
it was a mama there?
He was 500 pounds.
Oh, 500.
Actually, he was more than that. He might have been close to a ton.
So if nobody told you it was a pup, you would have thought it was just a rhino.
Yeah. Right. And he was just like rubbing up against me.
Yeah.
They look like dinosaurs, and they feel like dinosaurs. Absolutely. I would imagine. I've never felt a dinosaur.
There's a tribe in, I believe, somewhere in Africa where to become a man, you have to place a cup. You have to place something on a rhino.
Like on his horn.
On his horn or something like that. Something crazy.
See, look, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what we need out here.
We need some of that in America. Because to be a man here, you have to beat somebody up. You have to like be abusive.
Or just wear skinny jeans.
Or wear skinny jeans.
Grow a beard.
Or like learn a Mumford and song on a ukulele.
Right.
I'm all about that manhood.
There's no... Wait, where are you from again?
Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the home of domestic abuse and methamphetamines.
Is it?
Well, I mean, I say that just to be funny, but
there's some truth to it.
There's some truth to it, and I had a pretty good upbringing, but, you know, that whole idea of, like, a manly man definitely was...
There.
It was there.
Right.
But I also know that, like, raising your son to be manly isn't the best.
Well, I think the definition got skewed.
Got lost.
If that's the word. Because it's like I was in Portland just like a couple weeks ago. And so those dudes up there are very, you know, skinny jeans, beard. They're very soft.
Soft.
Soft. Very. I mean, when you eat that much ice cream and blah, blah, blah.
No.
Yeah.
Vegan.
But, and so like, you know, visually, you look at those dudes, you go, those guys aren't men. You know, it's not what a man. A man has rough hands. He has calluses.
Right.
You know, he knows how to build stuff. If he doesn't know, he's going to try.
Yeah.
He'll lose a finger trying to build it. You know what I mean? But I love how we're talking about, man, I got like my leg up.
I know. Now you just opened your crotch is looking right. I'm like.
Right. Just boom.
Just a crotch shot right in my face.
Boom. Just right there.
You got your legs wide open. I feel like I'm interrogating your balls.
My balls. So where were you on the night of August? Because I was here.
You're interrogating your balls.
Yeah, right.
You're so much a man that your balls were out while
my
you were
balls,
in.
Yeah, right? My balls was like, yo, we got this.
Yo, we went out. Like, right. We went on the block.
Came back drunk.
I do like that manly man, though. Like I always said, like, I like a sensitive lumberjack.
That dude's gay.
No, shut up! Don't talk about Paul Bunyan like that. I just want like a dude that can like chop a tree down, but also would hold me.
And be from where?
like, Narnia?
Yeah, about to say. How many dudes grew up around tree? Are there any trees left anywhere?
No.
Can you even chop
planted.
A tree down without getting
planted.
Arrested? Are you even... go straight to jail now and try to chop a tree.
Everything's GMO.
Yeah.
There's no more natural trees.
Nah.
But do you consider yourself a manly man? I feel like you're in the middle.
I'm definitely in the middle because I was raised with my mom and my younger sister. So I didn't have a lot of male influences around me.
How do you think that changed you?
I think it's made me more empathetic to women, like more understanding.
That's interesting.
But it's also made me still like, I feel like I'm still pursuing the idea of what a man is.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because you didn't really have the example in your face.
Right, right. So I find myself always looking for mentors, male mentors.
Yeah.
You know? So like I've had them throughout my entire life, but they've always been of the cerebral ilk.
Like who's a couple
type.
Of your?
Like I had a professor in college, Dr. Meunier, who his son was gay, and Dr. Meunier was like this. He's like 6'4", big dude with a beard, and so I used to wonder like why he would always give me internships and like. He would hook me up and talk to me. And then he confessed to me one time that, like, I was what he wanted his son to be.
Oh,
because
man.
His son is gay. And so he never felt like he could have a real relationship with him. And so he saw in me what his ideal son would be.
That's like, both beautiful and sad.
Yeah, right? And I was just like, damn. And here's, he's a professor in psychology. You know, and he just...
Oh, man.
And he was just like, I want to... You know, he's like, I want to have a relationship with my son. I just don't know how. Like, I don't get it. You know, it doesn't...
He wasn't able to connect to
him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
God. And imagine, like how you grew up because you didn't necessarily... Your father left when you were young? Did he pass away?
He just wasn't...
He wasn't around.
Right.
So imagine how that affected you when you grew up. You said being empathetic more towards women. I wonder how his son's going to grow up being gay without... A father. I wonder if he was like absent emotionally because he didn't know how to connect.
Oh,
see, that's how it's important to like just connect to your kids. It affects
it is.
You.
But you know, and the thing is, it's not part of it is like definitely you want your father to be around or a father to be around. But what's more important is that there is somebody around.
Yes.
Like it doesn't really have to be your father as long as there is. Somebody who can, you know, guide you, take you by the hand, show you how to do stuff. And I just never, that's why I always played sports, you know, because it was just.
The coach?
The coach, you know, you had the coach, Coach Karloff, you know, gave me a bunch of.
Back rubs?
Information.
I'm sorry.
He's right. That's so funny.
Sandusky popped in my
head.
He's
just a big dude. He was this big Russian. I don't even know if he was Russian or Serbian. Karloff
sounds like Eastern European. Yeah.
Yeah, right? It just this big dude, no matter, you know, in Chicago, no matter what the time of the year was, wore shorts and a t-shirt outside.
Oh, I love that.
Just that
Whatever.
Kind of dude.
The
yeah.
elements don't affect
yeah.
me. I can do this. The elements don't
then, like,
affect me.
When he talked to you, it was like, you know, two sentences at most, and you got it.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember one time, like, my senior year, I was like, Coach, man, the guys are saying, because I had like the most sacks. Like I was like all state.
What
and
kind
then,
of sack? What did you say about your
so
sacks?
So football.
Okay.
I'm
seeing
my
other
sacks.
With your legs wide open, I just was automatically drawn.
All right, I'm putting my leg down,
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You can't
the
say
leg.
Sacks with your legs wide open.
The leg is going down.
So you had the most sacks?
So I had the most sacks, and then I was like, you know, all state, and then – could have got All-American, but my grades. I didn't realize you need to have good grades to be yeah. All-American. Nobody told me that.
No one told you that?
No,
okay.
Nobody told me that.
Damn bastards.
I know. I would have studied or cheated or I would have done
like
something.
A
I would have found
girl
a way.
To do your homework.
Absolutely. You know what? I don't even remember any cute Asian girls in my high school.
Oh, I'm sure
4,000.
They remember you.
I'm sure there was a couple.
Oh, they remember you.
Yeah.
I'm sure they fiddled their diddle under their desk looking at you.
Are you projecting what's going on? Are you Asian? You part Asian?
Am I Asian?
You got the little ping.
Yeah.
What's that? What is that? You got the geisha girl thing at the top.
Oh my god, so cute! I would love to be a geisha girl.
Would you?
Yeah, it's so adorable.
I don't think you make a good geisha girl. You talk too much.
I'm too alpha. You want me to serve you tea? Fuck you. Your shoes don't fit. I hate spill you.
What were we talking about?
You were talking about how all the sacks you had.
Oh, so I went to coach one day and I was like, "Yo, man, they saying that I'm making all these plays because of the position I'm playing on the field." It's like, of course you would have all those plays, you know, because I was a defensive end, but I was on a weak side of the defensive line. I'm sure you don't get what I'm saying.
I mean, I get it. Right. All I see is outfits in my eyes right
now.
Right,
it's so funny.
And butts. But I love football
the
butts.
Point is, so I go to coach and I say that and I go, and the coach looks at me and he goes, "Yeah, but you still got to make the play." And I was like, "God damn right."
Yeah.
So the point is, boys and girls, is you know, even if you're born rich or tall or whatever, like, advantages you're born with, right, you still have to make use of them.
You do.
Right? Because there are a number of people who are born with plenty of advantages, right, and don't use any of them.
And that's such a waste
it
to
is.
The people who
are fight,
just
yeah.
fighting tooth
Absolutely.
And nail
yeah.
to try and accomplish something.
Absolutely.
It's a waste. It's you're complete. Wasting... you know, potential.
Yeah. And so he's like, you still got to make the play. So that just always taught me, like, no matter where I'm at in life or not, like, no matter what I have, like, I still got to make the play. Like, I still got to use, like, you could have all the ingredients to make, you know, barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
But if you don't actually put them in a pot and then take the time to cook it, you're not going to get your barbecue sauce.
Do you think not having a father figure made you more aware that that's what you needed to do?
What?
That because you needed it to make do with what you had and figure out how to accomplish things with what you have because of that void. Did that make
it's
you?
It's definitely, I think it's made me more resourceful.
Right.
Because from a very young age, I mean, ever since I can remember, like, I've had a job, I've always, like, and then I always gave my money to my mom, like, just as, like, here, you know. Pay
You're
bills
just a good
or pay.
Person.
I try to be.
But I think, you know, like, in your position,
I killed
I
two
just,
people.
They probably deserved it. They were
they
probably assholes.
They deserved it.
I just think, like, in your position where, you know, being a boy without a father, you know, statistically, that goes a much different route.
Right.
It goes a much different route.
Oh, I went to jail.
I
went to, I fulfilled.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, I went to jail.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, I take it back. Would you ever talk about what you went to jail for?
I went to jail. I was, it was that, you know, Donald Trump says you're an average of the five people you hang around. And these dudes I grew up with, I stopped hanging around them because they started selling drugs and getting in the dirt, right? So 2 years go by. I don't hear from these. I'm in high school. It's my junior year. And they give me a call one night, yo, we got a car. Why don't you come roll around with us?
Oh, Jesus.
And I haven't talked to him. And I was like, yeah. So I get in the car. We get pulled over. Stolen car.
Oh, shit. You didn't think to ask that? I'm kidding.
I know, right? No, you know, it's your boys. Like, I knew they were selling drugs, but I didn't think they had, you know, would do anything like this, right? So we get taken down to the station. And the dude who had the car stolen identifies me as one of the people who stole the car from him.
Now that's just pure racism.
And it was a black dude.
He's like, just that one.
Just, he's like, that dude. So he identified me and then the three other dudes who were in the car.
Oh my God.
On top of that, the time that the alleged car theft took place, I didn't have an alibi. I was home, but they didn't. They were like, well, your mom is an alibi, doesn't count. So I know, exactly, right?
I mean, I get it, but what?
So now I'm in front of a judge and my probation, not defense attorney, I forget what they call it.
Court appointed
lawyer is like, just tell them you're guilty because you can't.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she's like, you can't prove that you didn't do it. So just plead guilty.
What?
So... and my court date was like 3 months away. And in that 3 months, she didn't call me at all. Nothing. There was no investigation. Nothing like that. So I get in front of the judge. I go, I'm innocent. And then the
judge
is, and then the judge goes, I thought you talked to him. And then she pulls me off to the side. He's like, I'm going to let you talk to him one more time and bring him back over here when he's ready. And so she pulls me up. She's like, just plead guilty. All right. She's like, if you plead guilty, you won't. They won't go to jail.
Person's name.
So I go back and I go, I'm guilty. I couldn't disprove it. I couldn't disprove that I wasn't there. So I get 1,000 hours of community service that I had to serve over my entire summer. And I had to serve it before the senior year because there was no way I could go to high school, go to practice, and do community service at the same time. So if I didn't have it, and the only thing that kept me out of jail was the day before my court date, I got a letter from Penn State saying that they wanted me to come play football for them. And I took it into him, and I go, you can't send me to jail. I'm going to Penn State. And he's like, well, do you have a letter? And I was like, I do.
Where was this?
Chicago.
So you mean to tell me we could go to Chicago, steal a car, and all we get is 1,000 hours community service?
I'm saying that's what I got. That was my first time. I don't know about your rap sheet. Y'all feel like you got tattoos on the arm and shit. And you know, that's not your color hair. So I feel like you got stories to tell.
You know what would be funny? If we did that and I was driving, yeah. I guarantee whoever's car we stole, if they went to the police and the police were like, who did it? They would point at like, that guy.
That guy right there.
That guy did it right there.
He did it. But at the same time, like I've had numerous cop run-ins. And half of them have been stories to tell. And then the other half have just been really cool cops.
So you think the discrimination is real? It's real.
I don't even want to say it's real because I've had it both ways in terms of, you know, just cops thinking I was guilty because I was black. I've had that. But I've also had cops just let me go when I was clearly in the wrong.
Yeah.
You know? So does it exist? Of course it exists.
It does. Yeah,
I mean,
it has to.
As people, I mean, if we're not discriminating on color, we're discriminating on car or clothes, yeah. we're always discriminating. Like that's human nature.
Yes.
So to think that a cop is exempt from that, he's a human. That's ridiculous, right? But at the same time, it's like, you know, don't give him a reason to shoot you. Because here's what people don't understand about the whole cop killing. Here's the. Why people are rioting because they go, oh, he shot him in the back. You know, like, how can you shoot an unarmed man in the back like that? But here's a part of the law that people don't know is that a cop has the right to use force if he believes that you are going to harm him,
right.
The cop, yourself, or somebody else.
Right. He has to.
Right. So if you take off running and he really believes that you're going to go harm somebody else, he has a right to shoot you.
Right.
Kill you.
Well, that's the point of having police.
Right. So that's what people don't understand is that they go, well, he was unarmed. But, yeah, even without a weapon, he could still run and snatch up a little kid and hurt that little kid.
Potentially do some harm.
Right. But not to say that there's not racism. Of course there's racism. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, I've never dated certain races. And not because I'm racist, it's just that have not appealed to me. Because
you're all about that swirl life.
I am all about that swirl
life. You're all about that swirl life. I know what we need to do. This is how we're going to end the podcast on this. Because we've been talking and it's all been amazing stuff. But I have an idea and I think it's so epic. That it's
epic enough
to wrap this up.
Okay.
I think how we change the world and my life and yours.
Yes.
You're going to be happily married with Dominique.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In your swirl life. You and I are going to be swirl life cop partners.
Okay.
And we're going to be in a relationship, but not in a sexual one, just in like an understanding relationship. So we're going to be cops.
Okay.
I'm going to be the bad white cop. You're going to be the good the good black cop. Okay. And then we're going to become presidents.
of the United States?
Yes. You and I are going to become the presidents.
Okay.
Dominique is going to be like the pit bull that we keep on the side, Secretary of State, and we're going to run this motherfucker.
I love it.
We're going to run
Let's do it.
And we're going to change the world.
What's our slogan going to be? We need a slogan.
You're the guy.
Swirl Life 2016.
We got to get this shit Swirl in Life quick.
2016.
You better start selling some more merch.
Let's do it. Get that t-shirt up and popping.
Get that t-shirt on the road and sell it.
We just sell black and white t-shirts.
Oh, shit. Deli cookie.
Uh-oh.
That's what we call it in New York.
What, deli cookie?
The black and white cookie is a deli cookie.
Oreos.
Deli cookie 2016.
Deli cookie.
That's going to be our campaign.
But nobody's going to know what a deli cookie
doesn't
is.
Doesn't matter. Mystery is what people love.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't. I think Middle America loves it direct.
Okay.
Like, they don't want to have to think.
It more direct.
You realize that.
That's true.
Mike and Molly is the number one show.
They like it. They need it just right. Laid out for them. Well, I might have to rethink the whole campaign t-shirt, but I think the idea is there. Well, thank you for talking to us, Leo Flowers.
Thank you for letting
you're
me
you're an enigma.
I am.
You're a gentleman. You're an enigma.
Yeah.
You're
Did you say an enigma?
No, I didn't say that. Absolutely not. Mr. Leo Chocolate Flowers, everybody. You can catch him opening for Brian Callen at the San Francisco Punchline June 26th, 27th, and 28th, I believe, with that whatever that weekend is. He's at leoflowers.com. Check him out on the World Wide Web. Great dude, and a personal trainer as well. He's built like a brick shit house, so he knows what he's doing. He's worked me out, and well, not like worked me out, not like that. He's worked out with me. He's making me work out. Everything's working out fine. Yeah, I mean, girls, that's we should strive for. The problem is with a lot of girls, we don't know our value. And him and I were talking about that a lot. His first date, he set up a picnic for Dominique. A picnic. That should be the bare minimum of what women should be getting from a guy and what you know you're worth. Don't go out to dinner and pay for the dude on the first night. Let him make you a picnic. Damn. Does that even exist? Is he even real? A picnic? Jesus. I go out with guys and their girlfriends show up. I mean, it's just Leo Flowers is a rare specimen, and I wish him and his girl the best. Fucking assholes. I watched movies alone. Let's talk about movies. Movies. Which ones do you want to recommend? I, as you know, watch a lot of movies because I'm on the road all the time. I watched one really fun one. I rewatched it. I've seen it before. It's called Housebound. A little bit of a thriller. It's a New Zealand movie. The director is from New Zealand, and it was shot in New Zealand. Fun movie. Creepy. And it's not your average thriller slash horror movie. It's quirky. Housebound. Check it out. Another one that's been around for a while, if you're into like alien movies and abductions, I've said before, I have a hard time finding good ones. This one has been around for a while. It's called Dark Skies with Carrie Russell of Felicity fame. Check that out. Pretty, pretty good alien movie. And what else have I watched? Did I watch anything else that's exciting? I think that's about it. I guess I didn't watch a lot of movies this week. I really want to watch Zombievers. That's a new one that's on Netflix, and I really want to check it out. It's called Zombievers, and I think it looks just hilariously scary. Scariless. My mom just texted me. Let's see what she just said. She just sent me a text message interrupting the fucking podcast, Nancy. Oh, she sent me a picture of what I bought for her for Mother's Day. I bought her, you know, because moms like to collect, you know, tchotchkes. I bought her a towel for like a kitchen towel. And it says, home is where your mom is. And she says, is it okay if I cut this up so I can frame it? This bitch, she just wants to cut up my gifts. It's a towel for the kitchen, and she wants to cut it up and frame it. All right, Mom, you can cut it up. It's fine. You've cut up my soul enough. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Zombievers. We have to find a... I'm going to find a way where we can all watch that movie together and live tweet it while we're watching it. We all have to commit to a date to watch it together. And while we're watching, we're going to live tweet it and go back and forth and have our own movie slumber party. That's what I want to do. So I'm going to figure out a date. I'm going to post it. And I'm going to post it on Facebook. I'm going to post it on Twitter. I'm going to figure out a date and a time. And if you guys can watch it at that time, make sure you have your Twitter ready to go. And we'll live tweet the movie together. Because at least it's not rude. Like, when you're in a movie theater, you shouldn't be tweeting. You shouldn't be texting. You should watch the movie. But when you're at home watching it, who gives a fuck? Let's live tweet each other. So we're going to watch Zombievers. So nobody watch it yet. If you have watched it and you want to be a part of this, our movie sleepover, you can. Don't be give away spoils. Don't be a spoiler alert. Don't do spoil alerts. Enough with the spoiler alerts. Oh, God. My brain is shutting down. Each week it just shuts down more and more. I want to answer questions from people, from you bastards, on the World Wide Web. I do questions every week. So let's get into that. Mike Dixon. He says, post a link to your live podcast. I will, Mike, when it's released. Daniel Garcia, who's asked me questions before. How did you feel the first time you performed? Oh, how did you feel your first time on stage doing stand-up? I was scared shitless. I was 19 years old in Boston at a place called the Cantab Lounge in Cambridge. My father was there. My boyfriend was there. Randall Wooten at the time. It was my boyfriend. My friend... Aaron Birmingham was there. Everybody was there. I used to work at H&M, so the whole store came out. I did 5 minutes. I was equal parts extremely terrified and extremely excited. It felt like a drug, and that's why I kept doing it. It literally feels like a drug. So it's scary. It feels dangerous. It hurts. It feels good. It's all those things. It's every emotion in one. So I think that's why so many people, when they do it, they refer to it as a drug. They kind of, you know, make that correlation. Mike Dixon asks a question. Oh, he has a question here, Mike. What are your thoughts on Bruce Jenner's transformation into Caitlyn Jenner? Well, I think I kind of answered that before, but I think it's great. Be you. Do you. I think individuality is the most important attribute that a person can have. I think being able to express yourself with balls and confidence is important, or a vagina. He's going to express himself with a vagina. So if you have balls or a vagina, you can express yourself however the hell you want to express yourself. I think it's beautiful. I think that's what it's all about. And anybody who judges him is just afraid. You shouldn't let fear dictate how you treat people if it's in a negative way. So I say more power to Caitlyn Jenner. I hope she has a beautiful life from this day forward, and she's able to live in peace and harmony. Marcus McQuaid, when do you come back to Seattle? Well, look at that, Marcus McQuaid. I'm going to be in Bellevue. I'm going to be in Bellevue in June. I said the dates already. I have to find them again. June 11th, 12th, and 13th. Parlor Live. It's in Bellevue. I hope that answers your question, Marcus. Patricia Gary, how you doing, boo? I see you. What was the worst breakup you ever had and why? I think they're all bad. They're all bad. That was a sneeze. Sorry. Maybe that's why that they suck, because I sneeze in the middle of conversations. All breakups are bad. Maybe the worst one, I think they're all crappy. I mean, that's for another podcast, though. I can get into my breakups. I've had three major ones in my life. I've had three major boyfriends, three guys that I lived with, and it was all difficult for different reasons. But I learned a lot, and I moved forward, and I wish them all the best. They all taught me something. Rolando SC. Okay, someone doesn't want to say their last name because they have priors. Ever heard of that show called Walk of Shame? If you've seen it, what are your thoughts on it? I don't know the show, but I know the act, and I've done it 1,000 times. Next question. David Smith, how was your weekend in Hartford? Well, you got to listen to the beginning of the podcast, David. Hopefully you tuned in to the beginning, because I told you. Drew Bean, ever fart in a guy's mouth? Drew, are you high? What have I ever farted in a guy's mouth? What kind of question is that? What kind of human being asks a question like that? I've done it 4 times. Okay? Don't judge me. Okay? Just let me fart in whoever's mouth that I want to fart into. I think I should be able to do that. I was born this way. One more for you guys. I was talking about how I miss Fozzie, and I found a voicemail, a recent voicemail from his vet. He has a cardiologist. My dog has a fucking cardiologist. I don't even have a cardiologist. But if you guys need a cardiologist, I know a really good one. Her name's Barbara Roberts. Check her out. Google her. She knows her shit. What up, Barbara? I found this voicemail. I said, you know what? Fuck it. I say, has become, like, if anyone's ever listened to, watched Goodfellas or Casino, and the amount of times they say fuck in those movies, count how many times I said, Whoever can tell me the amount of times I said, I'm going to send you something. I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be. It could be a fart in a jar. But if you get it right, I'm going to send you a gift. Now you're all going to count them. Go ahead. Try and figure that one out. Slow it down. See how many was right there. Here's the voicemail from my vet. You guys may have heard me say that I spent $8,000. I spent $8,000 on Fozzie last year. This is why.
Hi, this is Dr. Chesse calling from the cardiology service at ASEC. Just giving you an update on Fozzie Bear. He's doing well.
Bullshit, he's doing well, bitch. Bullshit.
His chest x-rays did show a little bit of fluid in his lungs.
Yeah, $5,000 right there.
So we're going to increase his torsemide dose slightly to 3/4 tablets every 12 hours. And we gave him a little furosemide injection to help clear that little bit of fluid faster. So hopefully.
Did she say a couple times? I heard a few ums in there.
Hopefully that'll help with his breathing and his cough. His brief echo showed that.
I heard a fucking I heard an
There was slight improvement of his pulmonary hypertension, but it's still on the high end. So I'm going to go ahead and increase his Viagra as well.
Did you hear that? My dog is on motherfucking Viagra. This bitch.
We're going to switch you over to getting your pimobendin and your sildenafil, both from Diamondback, and give you a short supply of each from here in the meantime.
Bitch, don't breeze over the fact that you just put my dog on Viagra, and with no explanation. And I could have used a little warning, because when I gave him the Viagra, he licked his dick for 3 hours. Every time, 3 hours a day, he licks his dick.
Instead of the Wedgwood Pharmacy, which we've recently had, you know, some problems with them.
I mean, this bitch is saying more than I am right now. This is too fucking funny.
We called those both into you, and we'll give you a short supply from here. The only kind of a little bit concerning thing is his kidney values are a little bit more elevated today. You know, before they've been mildly elevated, and now I would put them in the moderate range. And so we just want to keep a close eye on that.
I can't. This bitch is basically telling me my dog is dying in between 1,000 ums. So maybe I'm not dumb. Maybe saying isn't a lack of vocabulary, because she is a veterinarian, a cardiologist. She's a smart bitch. She's had like 37 so far.
We'll recheck him in a week and also temporarily discontinue his benazepril to give his kidneys a little bit of a break. And we'd like to check a kidney panel in 1 week to be sure that they're improving. And if they're not, then we need to investigate other things like infection and things that could be causing those values to go up. So
how about we investigate me getting another job to pay for all of this shit?
More than likely it is from his torsemide. You know, unfortunately, he needs that, though, to keep the heart failure away. So give me a call back when you get this. I'll probably be here till about 4:30 today. I'll let the emergency department know, you know, everything and have all your medications ready for you.
you, yeah.